We're going to read you a few verses here. This morning we started at verse 17, but I'm going to tonight start at verse number 25. And we'll shorten up the scripture reading a little bit. And you that were not here, we'll try to briefly bring you up to what we had to say this morning. And then try to show you what I'm really driving toward today. But some of my introduction is better than my messages anyway. But the introduction got so good, I just wanted to park here for a while. And I did. And I thank God for the privilege to let me do that. And certainly it was a joy to my heart. I hope it helped you. I really do. I like what Brother Billy Mitchell says. How you know you believed? You keep on believing. Amen. That's good. I just love that. Stuck in my heart. You know you believe because you keep on believing. If you say you believe, then you quit believing. You didn't believe to start with. Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. Verse 25. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And we're centering in on that thought tonight in verse number 26. Last phrase of that verse, who then can be saved? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for all the singing, the songs. God, for a sweet spirit. And God, we praise your name and give you all the glory and honor. Then, Father, thank you tonight for the privilege that we're going to have in a little bit to baptize. I praise your name for that. But, Lord, right now we need to center in on this thought of the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray, Father, tonight those that know not Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit would make it real, conviction be real, drawn by the power of God be real. And God, I pray your convicting power would work on hearts and lives of individuals that need to get right with you. Lord, you have your way, magnify yourself. I pray that breeze from glory come through. God, you'd help us tonight to preach, and we'll thank and praise you. And all you do, then, Lord, when we get the invitation, I pray the Holy Ghost just have his way in Jesus' name. And, Father, tonight, right now, right this minute, I know evil powers will try to steal away, will try to interfere with. I pray you'd rebuke the devil, powers of evil. Plead the blood. Thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Who then can be saved? We're thinking that thought and using that. This morning we read about the man that came that was rich, and he asked Jesus about how to get to heaven, so forth, and commandments man to man he did well with, but God knew where his problem was. He loved his riches, and he wouldn't listen to what Jesus had to say, wouldn't believe what had to say, and turned and went away because he had great possessions. Then Jesus began talking to disciples and said to them, that how hard it was for a rich man to get to heaven. And said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I expounded on that a little bit this morning. He was not talking about a gate in the side of the wall of Jerusalem. He wasn't talking about where camels had to get down their knee. He talking about the eye of a needle. They were totally surprised. They were astonished, the Bible said. They could not comprehend how anybody could be saved if that's how hard it was. And that's what the Bible said. Look at verse 26. They were astonished out of measure. That is, they were so shocked at what he said. They said, who then can be saved? Then Jesus makes a statement that is so important to us. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Salvation, it's impossible to be saved unless God does the saving. Man can try to turn over new leaves. He can try to do better. He can do this and do that. But he'll never, never make it to heaven unless God does a work in his heart and convicts him and draws him and brings him to that place where he's really saved. I talked about really believing, really repenting. this morning. Let me say again, if you ever really repent, you will believe. If you ever really believe, you will repent. And I pray tonight that God will speak to hearts and lives of individuals, and men and women may see and realize the need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Not everybody saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven is what Jesus said. That's not salvation by doing. That's not salvation by works. Who does the will of God? Those that see themselves unworthy and repent and believe, they're doing what God wants them to do, and they get saved that way. You don't get saved any other way. It's just by repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And I made a statement this morning. You can't really be saved unless you believe that you are saved. And you can come to God. You can try to come to God. You can see yourself lost. You can see yourself going to hell. You can see that Jesus is a Savior. You can see all of that. And you can realize that. But until you give yourself to God in faith and believe he did that for you and trust him for your salvation, you'll not be saved. Now, I'm going to get to what I wanted to preach. And I pray God to help us here tonight as we look at this. Who then can be saved? We're going to baptize some folk in a little bit, the Lord willing, that got saved. I mean got saved. I praise God for the reality of being born again. You say, preacher, church members getting saved. Hey, listen, it'd be good if we'd have an old-fashioned revival and a whole bunch of church folk get saved. I'm not talking about just in this church. I'm talking about all of our churches. It's church included. And the devil always has folk that's in churches that make profession and don't really know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I'm glad, thank God, there is a reality in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that not right, Dana? There is a reality. See, she was one of those and went through that. And I say, praise God, she got saved and got right with God. I rejoice in the reality of it. And I praise God. I preached revival up in Maryland, and I was sharing. I told Sister Bryn, my granddaughter Bryn, amen. And I don't know what to call her sometimes. But anyway, I talked about her getting saved and other folk getting saved. I went through that. Hey, the lady got saved that night. And she came to me after service, and she said, you be sure that you thank your granddaughter for being honest and getting saved. Said, I realize I've been struggling. I've been wondering. I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any joy. And said, when you told about her, the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart and got her, and she got saved. I say, praise God. Same thing about Dana. Same thing about any of these that came and got saved. Is the fact that they were lost and without God and didn't have peace. Hey, you can have all the outward form of it. You can say you got saved. You can say you got born in the family of God. But Brother Michael, it makes a difference when you really come to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm glad the salvation's real. It's not just I hope so. I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. That's not... It's believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and letting him save you and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And I had to slow down there. I was about to spit on half of you. Amen. And I said before, I'd hate to be raised in a church where the preacher never spit on me. Every once in a while, some Holy Ghost spit and help you. Amen. But who then can be saved? We need to take time out, pull up, think. Who can be saved? Well, the rich can be saved. Bible talks about how, I tell you right now, it took the same blood to save a rich as it takes to save you. Or put it the other way, it took the same blood to save you as it does to save a rich. Amen. It doesn't make any difference who you are, how rich you are, but you can be saved. I'm glad this young man that came to Jesus and ask him about that. He could have been saved had he been willing to listen to Jesus, obey him, act on faith, done what God said, he would have been saved. But he missed it. He missed it because he wouldn't believe and trust in Jesus. Well, can a rich man get saved? Well, let me show you one deal. Look with me, please, in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter number 19. We're going to, little kids know this story. It's about Zacchaeus climbing up in a sycamore tree. See who Jesus was. In verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And preacher, how you know he got saved? Well, Jesus told him, come down, going home with him. And look what he said in verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. He realized who Jesus was. He was Lord. He said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. I restore him fourfold. He got saved. He wanted to do what was right, straighten things out. He could straighten out and go on for God. He got saved. A rich man got saved. That's what God said. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 57, there talks about a man named Joseph and was a man of Arimathea that came to beg the body of Jesus. And the Bible says he was rich. He was rich and he came. And so rich people can get saved. I'm glad rich people can get saved. You say, preacher, you're preaching the wrong crowd tonight. We're not rich. Well, compared to some parts of the world, you are. Amen. But if you don't consider yourself rich, we're all rich if we're saved in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we got food to eat and clothes to wear and a place to sleep, eat and cool, we're rich. Amen. And blessed of God. I'm just telling you, the rich can be saved. That's not where I really want to get to. The religious can get saved. Amen. That's what happened around here. Some religious folk got saved. And part of them was religious anyway. The rest of the crowd, I'm not sure about. But some was religious and got saved. I say hallelujah. Religious people can get saved. There are those that are religious but not saved. I've talked about it a little bit. I'm going to talk about it some more. Because Nicodemus was a religious man. He's a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. He was religious as could be. He lived a life probably that would put ours to wonderment if you really looked at his life, how he lived. And he was that one that tried outwardly and religious in every way. But he came to Jesus by night and asked him, good master, what must he do? And then Jesus went on and talked to him about being born again. Had to be born again. Now that's a miracle that God talked about there in the scripture and text I read. With man it's impossible to be born again. But not so with God. God can birth a man again. You're born in this world physically. You have to be born spiritually or you never go to heaven. Some folk go and go to hell because they refused to admit they were lost while they were religious. They made a profession. They joined the church. They got ducked under the water, sprinkled on the head, done something religious, and they hang on to that and think that's going to get them to heaven. That's not going to get you to heaven. He must be born again. Preacher, do you really believe that Jesus Christ can save me? I do. He saves religion. Hey, Paul, that great apostle of all, I guess the greatest preacher outside of the Lord Jesus that ever lived. He was religious, and he was going persecuting the church, but religious because he was a Jew, and he's trying to do what he thought would please God. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus brought him to his knees, and he got saved, and thank God, born in the family of God. He changed what he was doing. Instead of persecuting the Christians, he started preaching Jesus. I say hallelujah, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Thank God religious people get saved. And somebody said, preacher, I'm ashamed to admit that I'm lost. Listen, I'd rather admit I'm lost and get saved than go to hell. Amen. I'd rather admit I'm lost and get saved than to live my life always wondering if I'm ready. That trump may sound and Jesus may come and we're going to leave out of here. But if you're not saved, you're not going. But saved people are going. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. Amen. I praise God for that. But religious people, I was one of those religious folk that got saved. And I've said it over and over again. Religion is man-made. And Christianity is God-given to us. God does a saving. God saves. Man, it's impossible. You can do everything you can do. You can think it through. You can try to reason it out. You can try to make it real and do everything you can do. But salvation is a miracle of God that takes place in your heart that nobody can duplicate, but God can do it. Are you saved tonight? If Jesus came right now, do you know you're going to heaven? Let me give you another one that can be saved. Who then can be saved? The rich can be saved. The religious can be saved. But who else can be saved? I'm glad you asked because I wanted to tell you. The ruined can be saved. Who? The ruined. I mean the lies messed up. Totally messed up. They can be. You remember the woman in chapter 4, Gospel of John, chapter 4. And she was there at the well. And she came during the daytime at a time when other women wasn't there. She's ashamed of what she was and how she was living. And she'd been married so many times, and then she's living with a man wasn't married to. And Jesus came there to the well and began to talk to her. And her life was messed up. And when he touched on her life and began to talk about it, God began to do something in her heart. And she got excited. She forgot her water pot, went back to town, and started telling everybody, hey, I met a man. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus took her and saved her by his marvelous grace. I say hallelujah. In John chapter 8, the woman taken in adultery came, and they brought her there. And Law said, Stoner, what do you say? And he said, the one be without sin, cast the first stone. And then Jesus began to write in the sand. And you know the story, how he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He saved her. Her life was a mess, but she got saved. Hey, preacher, you don't know how deep in sin I am. Well, I'm glad you mentioned it. I want to show you another one. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Look at this one. I want you to see this. I'm talking about who then can be saved. The rich can be saved. The religious can be saved. Those whose lives are totally messed up. I'm glad God can save them. In Mark chapter 5, here's Jesus going to the country of Gadareans. Look in verse number 2. And he's come out of the ship immediately there. Met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And then down verse number 5. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran, worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what's thy name? He answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then in the story, you know, he cast out the demons and they went in the pigs and ran down to the water and drowned. Hey, what I'm trying to tell you here tonight is this. This man's life was messed up. He was in the tombs. He's cutting himself. You know, it reminds me of this rock and roll bunch. How you see pictures of them sometimes, how they look. That's how I imagine this man looked. And wild-eyed and running through the tombs, and the devil had him just where he wanted him and wrecking his life, tearing him down, messing him up. But Jesus came by and Jesus saved him. Amen. I'm going to meet him one day in glory. Hallelujah. Think about that. And this man was lost, going to hell, had no hope. He's out there in the tombs and nobody cared. They couldn't help him. Man tried to tame him. Hey, I want you to know, you can have all the, ever how many A's it is and in their meetings and how many meetings you want to have and all that stuff. The only thing that really help a person in drinking and drugs and chained in something, pornography, whatever. The only thing that help them is the grace of God and the power of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus can set you free. Amen. I'm not saying there's not some good Christian help somewhere. Hey, maybe that, but I'm talking about what the help we really need is God does in the heart of an individual. You say, preacher, I can't get off of drugs. I know one that can get you off of drugs. Amen. Amen. Praise God in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help you.
He can do something for you nobody else can do, preacher. My life's messed up. I'm hooked on that pornography on the internet or on whatever it is you're looking at and make it whatever. You say, preacher, I'm so messed up on that, I can't get out. I know one that can get you out. Hallelujah. Amen, preacher. I can't help. I have to drink. I'm hooked on alcohol, and I have to have it. And I say, hogwash on that. You don't. God can come by your way and set you free. Yes, amen. Amen. Preacher, I'm in a messed up sex life, and I can't help myself. I know one that can help you. Amen. Jesus will come by and set you free. I'm glad tonight. Thank God there is help. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And you can be saved tonight. Aren't you glad? Thank God it's real. Who then can be saved? I'm glad. Thank God those deep in sin can be saved. Those lives who look like they're wasted away. Those who look like there's no hope for them. Those who look like, Brother Taylor's not here tonight, but I'll use him as an example anyway. He don't mind. He's not able to drive at night anymore. He was a bartender. And his life was messed up. And you've heard him testify up here before he prayed, sometimes before us in services. That man was deep, but God came by his way one day and picked him up and got him out. Thank God he don't serve liquor anymore. Serves a living God. Tells people about Jesus. Tells people about being saved and being born in the family of God. And that man will bless your heart just to hear him talk sweet in Jesus. And what he used to be and what he is now is a turnabout. God got him out of that. And God can get you out of whatever you're in. Doesn't make any difference what you're in. And by the way, let me plug this in while I'm at it. You that are religious and lost are going to hell just as sure as a man that's out there taking drugs and drinking alcohol, living ungodly. And you're just as lost as they're lost, going to the same hell they're going to. Amen. God will save you too. God will help you. Then let me say this and just toss this one out. God helps the rejects. I guess you could toss that in with the ruined. But the rejects, there's some that are rejected by society, rejected by everybody. But Jesus will come by and take you up. Those lepers I talked about this morning, when they come by Jesus and ask him for help, the leprosy they had and all that, there they stood. They were rejects. The society wouldn't have anything to do with them. They had to cover their upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean, every time somebody even got close to them. They were tossed out by society and could not fellowship. But I'm glad Jesus come by and helped them. And Jesus told them what to do. And they believed and got healed and got right. Hey, praise God, aren't you glad? He'll take the reject. The psalmist David said, when my father and my mother have cast me out, the Lord will take me up. Forsaken me, the Lord will take me up. Hallelujah. Mom and dad may forsake you, but Jesus won't. Son and daughter may forsake you, but Jesus won't. Brother and sister may forsake you, but Jesus won't. I tell you, when you feel like nobody cares, Jesus does. You ever been there where you felt like nobody really cares? Nobody really cares what you're doing. Nobody really cares about your life, what's happening to you. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus cares. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares. I've been in the valleys. You've been in the valleys, but I'm glad to know there's one that blooms in the valley. Amen. Jesus, our blessed Savior, the Rose of Sharon. I want to tell you tonight, friend, he'll help you if you'll let him help you. Let me take you a step further and I close. Not only will he save all these folk, but anybody I left out, he'll get. The rest of them, whoever that is. Amen. If anybody I didn't mention, the rest of you, you can get saved too. Hey, no, preacher. Because the Bible says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's everybody. He tasted death for every man. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. I say to you tonight, it doesn't make a difference who you are, how far away from God you are, how lost you are, who you are, how religious you are. None of that matters. Who then can be saved? And sum it up in one word, the lost. The lost. They can be saved. But let me say this in closing. Not only the lost can be saved, but people that's been saved and they're They've allowed things come in their life. God's dealing with you, convicting you, showing you. If you're really saved, I know he is. If you're not, you need him to get saved. I'm glad you can come. 1 John 1 said, if we confess, he's faithful and just, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can get right too. Thank God you can get right with God. I'm glad tonight we're going to baptize. But right now it's time to get right with God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit, God, speak to hearts, deal with lives. These individuals in this house that need to come, need to get saved. Some need to come and let you have your way, their hearts, their lives. They're messed up. Father, I'm glad you're the one that can straighten out our lives and help us do what we ought to do for the glory of God. Have your way tonight. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you do what needs to be done. We'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.